yeah, for all your looking after our church, Lord, and for this English service, Lord, when I was first started, Lord, you saw something in it, Lord, and you helped us to make it a place of worship, a place where people can come together and worship you. And so, Lord, we just want to give back to you, just reflect your love, not just within ourselves and be blessed by it, Lord, but to share with those around us, Lord, so that they can see who you are through us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. This morning's scripture comes from John chapter 8. We'll start with John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And then also from John 8, chapter 2, verse 11. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. This morning we'd like to have Pastor Jonathan speak on this passage.
Can I use this one? Oh, nice. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Okay. So, and welcome to everyone who's joining us from online as well. It's good to, really good to have you with us. So, this week, we're going to continue our series on called Meeting I Am, which is a series about a deeper personal understanding of Jesus. Now, remember, it's easy to know of Jesus, to know facts about him, but to actually know him, you really have to encounter him and meet him, to experience him for yourself. And so as I prepare these sermons, I'm learning more about Jesus and growing as much as you are. And so my prayer for you today is that through this message, you will be encouraged to seek and deepen your own relationship with him too. And kind of as a context, I want to remind you of God's promise. He says, "If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." I mean, what a promise that is, right? The creator of the universe, who flung each star into space, wants to have a personal relationship with you and me. And so today we're going to look at Jesus' second I Am statement, which should be quite obvious by now which one it is. The light of the world. There we go. So Caleb read aloud to us already the verse, the key verse for us today. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So, what is light? Turn to the person next to you and tell them the first thing that comes to mind when you think of the word light. And if you're online, just type it in the chat so then other people can see and follow along as well. What is the first thing that comes to mind when you think of light? Cool. Any responses? You can tell what the other person said because they can't stop you.
Darkness.
Oh, the opposite. Darkness. Okay, light and darkness. Okay. Yeah.
Of.
Oh yeah. Oh, absence of darkness. Yeah. Yeah. That's actually a really good metaphor. Like when there is light, there can't be darkness, which is really interesting. You guys can't see this, but Sydney and Josh just both did the exact same action at the same time. They were like... Yeah, so there's a couple of common answers. The first one, God. God is light. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, it says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Psalm 27 starts off with, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And if you think back to creation, there was light on the first day. Before there was the sun, the moon, and the stars, the idea being that the glory of God is so brilliant that it is its own source of light, which is an idea mirrored in Revelation. So God is light. Well, another idea that we see in the Bible is that God's word is light. Right? The written word is light. Proverbs 6:23, for this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light. Psalm 119, which is famous for being the longest Psalm in the Bible with 176 verses. But what you might not know is that the Psalm is all about God's word. It's a giant acrostic poem about God's word. And in it, we have verse 105, which says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. In verse 130, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And so we see that God's written word is also described by the Bible as light. And what else is the word? Well, Jesus is the word, right? John 1:1, in the beginning was the word. Scripture, right, is God's written word, but Jesus is the living word that the written word points us to. Isaiah 42 tells us that the Messiah will be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. Covenant meaning relationship and light meaning salvation or life. Life, salvation, and life. John 1 verse 4 confirms this. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. And so we see in Scripture that there are three main things that are described as light. God, his written word, Scripture, and the living word, Jesus. And the thing that ties all these things together is this idea of life. In the light, there is salvation and life, as opposed to the darkness, where there is sin and death. So actually, that metaphor is pretty straightforward, right? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, will never walk in sin and death, but will have the light of life, will have salvation and eternal life. But what I want to dig into is what this idea might look like in your life and in my life. Talking about light and darkness like this as metaphors, it's pretty abstract. We get it, but do we get it? And like I said at the start of the sermon, we might know of Jesus as the light, but what does it mean to know him as light? That was my question when I was preparing this message. What does it mean to know Jesus as the light of my life? And as I was thinking over this question, I noticed the story in the passage just before this verse. I am the light of the world is found in John 8, verse 12. But in the 11 verses before it, is a different, well-known gospel story. A story of a woman who was caught in adultery, whom the teachers of the law and the Pharisees had brought to Jesus to test him. And what I realized was that this story This story beautifully demonstrates what it means for Jesus to be the light. Now, I want to point out something about this story first. Even though these verses come right before our key verse for today, Bible scholars are pretty sure that these two passages are unrelated. If you look in a modern translation of the Bible, including the ones in the pews in front of you, you will find that verses 1 to 11 are usually printed in italics. And the NIV Bibles actually have them sectioned off. And it says in a note, the earliest manuscripts do not have these verses. Now, if you've ever seen this and wondered what that means, well, what it doesn't mean is that it's not a part of the Bible. What it's telling us is that when we look at the most ancient manuscripts that we have access to, we find that in the early centuries, this story has been included in the Gospels, but sometimes, well, most of the time it was here, sometimes it was found in other parts of John or even in Luke. It just didn't seem to be able to find a proper home, so to speak. But despite that, God has made sure that this story has been preserved for us. And I believe that's because God wants us to learn from it. And like I said, for our message today, it gives us a beautiful illustration of God as our light. So here's what light does. It shines. It reveals. It exposes. Right? Jesus is the light that exposes what is hidden in the darkness. He exposes those things we try to keep secret. Verses 2 to 6 gives us the context for the story. It says, at dawn, he, Jesus, appeared at the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say? And they were using this as a question to trap him. So here is a person who was caught in the act of sin. And what does light do? It reveals. It exposes. And when sin gets exposed, it's like you're caught in the middle of the town square with a spotlight over your head. You can't get away from it. Ephesians 5, verses 11 to 13 warns us, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, expose them, for it is shameful to even mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Like the metaphor with darkness we said before, in a completely dark room, anything can be hidden. But bring any light into that room, even just a candle, and there is nothing you can hide your secrets behind anymore. And when you are face to face with Jesus, the light of the world, there is no hiding anything from him. But much more than that, light doesn't discriminate. Light doesn't choose what it shines on. When you bring a light into the room, everything in the room is lit up. And the Bible makes it very clear that this whole situation was a trap. And how do we know it's a trap? Well, think about it. The woman was caught in the act of adultery. And how many people does it take to commit adultery? I'll give you a hint. It's more than one. And so it's clear that this entire situation was set up by the teachers and the Pharisees to trap Jesus. And in order to do that, they were willing to use this woman as a pawn in their game. It's completely immoral. But because Jesus is the light that exposes sin, this detail didn't escape him. This was his response. Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Very simply and directly, he challenges the teachers and Pharisees to examine their own hearts. In Luke 12, we see Jesus teaching, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. "There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the rooftops." So be very careful trying to use Jesus' light for your own ends. Jesus is the light, and the light's not going to do what you want it to do. Jesus is the light of the world, so he is going to shine on the world. There is no hiding from his light. The psalmist in Psalm 139 says, "I could ask the darkness to hide me, but even in darkness, I can't hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day." Adam and Eve tried to hide from God when they sinned. And God even played along. "Where are you?" he asked, as if he didn't already know what had happened. He wanted to give them an opportunity to front up. Jonah tried to run away, thinking that he could get away from God, and God sent a fish after him. When we get to know Jesus as the light, we will come to know that there really is no hiding from him. Even the greatest prophets, Moses, faced with God in front of the burning bush, he hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Isaiah, whisked away to the heaven in a vision, cried, "Woe is me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." God sees everything. He sees the corners of our hearts, all those secrets we try to tuck away. And when we're face to face with him, we know that he knows. And so there's a call here to humility, to self-awareness, to introspection and reflection. When you meet Jesus, he exposes your heart's desires and confronts you with them. And if the story ended just here, then all we can do is the same as what the teachers and the Pharisees did. Right, those who heard began to go away, one at a time. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Some scholars reckon the old ones first because being older, they were wiser and more aware of what they had done. So if this was all there is to the story, then all you can do is go away, your tail tucked between your legs in shame. But thankfully, the story doesn't end here. Jesus didn't just come to expose, to convict, to make you feel bad about yourself. And that wouldn't be much of a gospel, now would it? Good news. No, the wonderful thing about the light of Jesus is that he didn't just come to expose. He came to show us that there is a different way. Jesus came to redeem. Jesus is the light that takes our brokenness and redeems it for his glory. He redeems our shame. What does Jesus say after everyone had left? Jesus straightened up and asked the woman, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Neither do I condemn you." Now, most of us probably know John 3:16 off by heart, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Now, how many of us knows what comes next? Oh, I see nods. Do you? So, John 3:17 says this: "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Again, Jesus says in John 12, "I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." Jesus' light exposes and reveals our deepest shame, but Jesus doesn't do that to condemn us. He's a light. He reveals, he exposes, but he does this out of love and grace. He simply says to every one of us, "Look. Look at these things in your life. Look at your lust, your addictions, your porn, your fantasies, your unhealthy desires. Look at your anger. Look at your hate or jealousy, your grudges and your unforgiveness. Or look at your pride, your desire to stand on top of others, to use others to get ahead. Or look at your self-loathing, your self-pity, that you think you're not good enough. Look at all these things that are hurting you, that have ensnared you, that are breaking you, that you're still trying to keep hidden. Why? Why are you trying to hide these things from me? Yes, these things are shameful. And yes, I'm going to expose them. But not to condemn you. Not to rub it in your face. Not to weaponize it against you. I'm shining a light on these things in your life because I want you to acknowledge it and bring it to me so I can redeem it for my glory. To redeem. Redeem means to exchange. Right? Think about a voucher. When you redeem a voucher, you're exchanging it for something else. Jesus wants to take the brokenness in your life and exchange it for something that will sing of his glory. There's a beautiful metaphor in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul writes, "You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,' has made this light, his light, shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ." And we have this light shining in our hearts, but we are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure, which makes it clear that the power is from God, not us. Imagine a perfect clay jar. No chips, no cracks, just a perfect clay jar. If you put a light into it, what happens? Not much. All you're going to see is this perfect clay jar. But imagine this jar is a broken person. Every time I fall, I get a little more chipped. Every mistake I make is another crack. Sometimes I fall over so hard that I shatter, and God has to carefully put me back together again. And now you put a light in this fragile, dirty, broken, imperfect clay jar. And what do you see? Not the jar, but the beauty and the wonder of the light that dwells inside the jar, shining through the cracks and imperfections. Not that being undamaged is bad, but imagine trying to let the light of Jesus' grace and power and love be displayed through a perfect person, and compare that to what we would see in the life of a broken but redeemed person. Without Jesus' redemption, of course we'd want to hide our sin, our brokenness. Who would want a broken clay jar? But you put Jesus inside that broken jar, you let his light shine through the cracks, the imperfections, the mistakes, and what do you have? The beauty and wonder of God's glory on display. And that's the mystery of Jesus' light. Because on the one hand, we feel laid bare, we feel exposed when confronted by him. And on the other hand, it's his light that turns us into beautiful testimonies of his glory. And which is why the story finishes with these amazing words from Jesus. Go and leave your life of sin. That Jesus could say this is why the cross is the most powerful image in all of history. The cross is where justice and love meet. In this one picture, we see Jesus as the light of the world, confronting sin, exposing sin, acknowledging the damage and the brokenness that it is, but we see Jesus as the light of the world, redeeming our sin, redeeming our brokenness, paying its consequences in our place, so that we're not bound, we're not defined by our past, but freed to live for him. And as you've listened today, what has Jesus been shining a light on in your life? Is there a secret sin that he's exposing to you? Lust? Anger? Greed? Pride? Jealousy? Unforgiveness? Or is there something that's happened in your past that you're letting define who you are today? A mistake? A broken relationship? Self-hatred? False words that you've spoken over yourself? Whatever his spirit is bringing to your attention right now, I want to invite you to bring it to Jesus. We feel vulnerable letting Jesus expose our shame. But remember, he's not here to condemn. He's here to redeem. Neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go and be freed from your life of sin. I want us to do something with this message today. At the back of the hall, I have some of these colored cubes in a tray. I want to invite everyone, to go and take a cube and imagine that this is something Jesus is exposing in your life to you right now. Let this symbolize what Jesus is revealing to you. And then when you're ready, come forward to the cross and exchange it for one of the ribbons on the table. The ribbon then can be a symbol of redemption. And if you're at home right now, you can do this too. Find something you can use to symbolize bringing what Jesus reveals to you before him. Now, for those of us who are here, well, actually for all of us, we're also having communion today. And at our church, the table is open to everyone who is baptized. So if this is you, take the communion elements with you as well when you're coming forward. The communion elements, the bread and the wine, also symbolize the redemption that is found in Jesus and the cross. So take a cube, exchange it for a ribbon or the communion elements, and then take it back to your seat and hold on to them. And once everyone is ready, then we'll take communion together. So, in your own time. said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Lord Jesus, there is nothing we can say when confronted by your light. But thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you are such a gracious and loving God, that you would turn us from broken clay jars into dazzling displays of your light and glory. So right now we lay down our shame and brokenness before you. And we hold on to this ribbon as a symbol of not your condemnation, not that you're here to condemn, but of your redemption, that you are here to redeem us. So may this communion we take today remind us of your words, "Go and leave your life of sin." Thank you for what you've done. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's take this communion together. So I'd like to invite the worship team to come up and end this on a celebratory note.
Just like in the story, the song "See the Light" describes what Jesus is wanting to do in our lives. He took our sin and he buried it. No longer I who live, but Jesus lives in me. For I was dead in sin, but I woke up to see the light. So let us stand for our responsive hymn, "See the Light."